manifestation of prayer. And some of the confusing things of why we pray for something, and perhaps it takes a little while for that to happen, or perhaps it doesn't happen at all. You know, so many of us grew up in different religions. I grew up in the Protestant church. I think 3/4 of the congregation grew up in Catholic. Not sure, but a lot of you did. And fear was instilled when it comes to God and calling on God. And if you do the right things, well, then God will have favor on you. And perhaps your prayer will be answered. Well, in metaphysics, we know that these things simply aren't true. It says in our prayer that we say, the Lord's Prayer, where is God? God is in the kingdom of heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven is within. But so many of us today, when we pray, because of preconceived ideas that we've no longer gotten rid of, we go, oh dear God and angel loved ones, please take care of this condition. Please do that. And while we're doing that, we're naming the negative condition. Well, in reality, when it comes to the law of vibration, everything that leaves us goes out to like kind, whether it be a prayer, whether it be anything. So the first thing we're doing when we're talking about the condition, we're thinking of our dearest friend, and then we're placing that negative condition out there. And then afterwards, we're saying, please take care of this. Well, there is no God out there that can take care of that, because God energy is within yourself. So many of us seem to forget that or want to forget that because we've been exposed to negative thinking that we're so unworthy of that. In reality, when we have a condition, when someone asks us to pray, or we have a condition, it's as simple as snapping a picture of what the end result you're wanting it to be. If someone has been diagnosed with an illness or has pain, then to pray for that is to see that person in perfect health, with a smile, with a glow all around them. It's learning to go with inside ourselves to find that God essence of power and learning how to release it and let it go freely. So many people today are waiting for the end of times. And let me tell you, with all the predictions, it looks like their end of times are coming when they don't understand. It's simply the end of the Piscean age. It's not the end of the world. But so many people are getting caught up in the fear of God. And that which you fear, you cannot love. So many people out there are still wanting to hold on to God and say, I believe, but they're running frantically in the opposite direction. And it's no wonder that there's so much chaos out there today. Because if you don't have a personal relationship with who you really are, and if you've not found an awakening software in your heart center, then it's just all whatever your belief or what you've been taught. I couldn't find my favorite people on television today. I had several phone calls. Didn't get to listen to Joel Osteen. But I remember what Doris told me last week. She listened to Dr. Charles Stanley, I think. And I said, oh, I run from him. He's so boring. But his whole topic was the belief, the foolish belief that some people have in the world today, that life goes on, and that there are people on the other side that we can commune with and can actually help us in this physical world. Well, you see, everybody feels they have the right idea, but they don't give you the tools to tell you that this is falsehood or this is right. You have to have the faith in what they believe. Jesus spoke of going into your closet and finding that peace and that love within. The secret of life today is not out there. The secret of life yesterday was not out there. The secret of tomorrow is not out there. Never has been, never will be. I was watching a show on the Discovery Channel the other day, and it was this man that had invented so many wonderful inventions, simple little things for the kitchen. For instance, a device that you put a stalk of corn in and it automatically comes out creamed corn. Just a little handy. And they ask him, how in the world do you think of these things? Do you spend a lot of time in the kitchen? He said, no, I dream them. I've dreamed every one. You see, he has found the secret within himself. He's found the secret. He might be sleeping, but he's open to the knowledge that's coming to him, and he's acting on it. And what a delightful thing it is for him and for the people around him and for people like us who might be able or probably have bought some of his thousands of inventions that he has out there. Trinkets that make our life easier. Well, when we find then that we can tap into that God source, and we learn to go into our closet, and we learn how to meditate, it's first of all closing out all the noise out there. It's closing out all the negative. It's closing out everything that would be distractive. And I can remember when I was a single mom and I had children, I would literally lock myself in the closet to get away from some of that noise, just to have a little bit of peace. People who live alone are more likely to know this peace than people who grew up in families and still have families or have very busy jobs. But there's always a place, a secret place deep inside of you. In the Bible, it's called the secret place of the Most High, where all of the God energy is hidden in our heart, where all the answers that we need can surface, where the love within us can surface. When we begin to work on this, what I call path of discovery within, and you begin to listen to those little thoughts that drop in your mind, you begin to be aware of the atmosphere that's going on within your universe. Is it rocky? You need to have a little time out. I know I saw a lady the other day. She said, this is my time out couch. I don't give it to my children. I need time out away from them. This is my quiet time. We all need a time out place where we can find that peace on the inside, where we can find the energy and the strength of within. So when we want to attract something within our life, when we're concerned about the illness that maybe our loved one has been diagnosed with, we know that no matter what metaphysical science says, until that silver cord is broken, there is always hope none of our business when it's time for someone to make the transition. What it is our business is to go within and to send all the love we have for that condition, knowing full well whichever way it goes, because it's none of our business, that it's going to be a perfect transition or it's going to be a perfect transition back to health. That's our main objective. When we get to that place of conditioning and we realize we're more than those negative things we've been taught from childhood on, unless we grew up in this kind of metaphysical spiritual religion, then we realize the same aspect is within every person, no matter who they are, no matter where they live, no matter what religion they believe in. We can make a difference by seeing those people with a loving heart. We can see those people in their positive light rather than their negative light. In the church in Muncie, when Virginia was still here and her whole family was still here, and someone was diagnosed with some condition, they would only tell the inner circle about it because they understood the law of focus of, out of fear, someone would focus on whatever it is. They would focus on the negative before they could focus on the positive. Sometimes, and I'm guilty too, we're too much so excited to say, oh, did you hear what happened to this one or that one or the other one? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we made that all positive and not say the condition, but say this one is ready for our love treatment. This one has asked to be placed for us to send our God energy on their condition and not have to say the negative. When we get to the place where we found it within ourselves, then there is the spiritual essence where spirit can help us. There is this Christ spirit growing within each and every one of us. And it's like when we can stay in that state, there begins to be a refining of the brain. There begins to be a refining of our thinking when we're staying there. I used to say, everybody that was in Virginia's presence grew and grew and grew. And you know why? Because she loved them just where they were. And that allowed them to feel so good and to feel a stirring within that they wanted to grow even more and more and more. Too many of us know everybody's negative points. Those things are important. Not unless you want to live in a world of chaos. You know, it's time for us. It doesn't matter what anyone does to us. It doesn't matter ever what someone else is doing. It matters what's our perception of them. Are we looking at the God light within them? Are we sending them the positive energy that they can grow? Because no one can grow with the negative hitting them every day. And my point being, have you seen the experiment with the plants so many years ago, where you send love and they flourish? You send negative thoughts and they die. Well, don't you think we're just as important as those plants? Don't you think our energy is just as potent with those around us as those plants who give us life? One thing that is so wonderful about life is looking back. And I can remember one of the good old seances we used to have. Eleanor Roosevelt came and spoke about prayer. And she said, even though I did not understand metaphysics, I believed in the power of prayer. I believed that it wasn't God out there necessarily, but the prayers of visualization which had the power to do what was needed. And every Wednesday, she had a prayer group of her favorite women who secretly met and would send thoughts to England and other places that were being bombed during World War II, that those targets would not be touched, that those bombs would go somewhere else, and they would send love and see peace over the targets. What she spoke about was when she got to Spirit, she was so amazed at the quilt, because our thoughts make quilts over there of our positive and our negative, and at the beautiful quilts that this particular prayer group had constructed over all the bombs that had been diverted from those targets. No, not all of them, we know that. But Spirit has gone on to say, there was something more behind where the bombs landed when they did. There would be streets gone, but maybe one house standing. What about the power within you that has the power of protection? In Katrina, in all of the disasters, you hear about this wonderful power of protection. What would happen in this world if, like the song, you lift me up? This God energy within you has the power to lift you up. And what is our mandate is to share it and lift someone up with our God energy so that they can become spiritualized and fertilized and grow into that tender heart of receptivity. Because it's only by experiencing love and that energy that we're able to grow into it and to feel it and to have that change our life. There's an amazing old-time gospel song, and I want to find it because I don't know how it ever got published and sang in those old fundamentalist churches, because the end line was, all in all, in the end, that our Savior is found within. Our Savior is within. Our Savior at all times is truly ourselves. It's that dividing line of earth energy, earth thinking, or spiritual divine energy. And that spiritual heart mind that is being awakened today. That spiritual heart mind that changes everything. That spiritual heart mind that has brought us all together on this earth plane at this time, knowing that we had the strength and we had the energy to give away. that we not only have the energy to change our life, but when our life changes, we have tapped into that energy that brings everyone else up with us. That changes those countries that are supposedly dark into the light. Because each and every person on this earth plane, whether we understand it or not, is God's child and our brother and our sister. So God bless you. Thank you.